ask now that you take your copy of the Word of God and turn with us to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12, and begin reading in verse 1. Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Notice what the Word of the Lord says to us today, how this 12th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning in verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him out, to bring him before the people after the Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. What happens when we pray for our leaders? How does God respond when we pray for our spiritual leaders? We've already seen in our first session why you should seek God for your leaders. We looked at biblical reasons that should motivate you to commit yourself to pray fervently and faithful for your spiritual leaders. Now we need to look at this issue from God's side. Now we need to view this issue from the way that God approaches it. God delights in our prayers for our spiritual leaders. He loves our intercession for them. He moves in unique and powerful ways when we pray for our leaders. In Acts chapter 12, we have an example of what happens when we pray for our spiritual leaders. We have a vivid show of what God does when the church offers prayer for its spiritual leaders. The key verse is found here in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And then verse 12 says this, So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Peter was in prison. Herod had determined to go after the church. The Bible says in verse 1, Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. He had decided that he was going to harass the church. That he was going to go after the church and persecute the church because it stands for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says that he had James, the brother of John, killed with a sword. And it says because he saw that pleased the Jews, who he was trying to gain their favor, because he saw that it pleased them, he had Peter seized also. And now we're in a very desperate situation. Because here one of the leaders of the church has already been killed. Now another leader, one of the prime leaders of the church, is in prison and facing death, because that's what Herod intended to do. He intended to kill him to please the Jews. And yet, what does the Bible say? Peter was kept in prison, but the church was praying. How did God respond to their prayers for Peter? And in this, I believe that we can see how God responds when we pray for our spiritual leaders. The first result of their praying for their spiritual leader was simply this. God sends divine help into the leader's life. God sends divine help into the leader's life. In our text, Peter is facing a seemingly hopeless situation. Herod intended to kill Peter in order to please the Jews. And notice what it says in verse 4. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Notice he was guarded by four squads of soldiers. Verse 6 says this, And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So notice that he's guarded by these four squads of soldiers when he's arrested. And when he sleeps at night, he is bound in chains to two soldiers, and there's soldiers posted watching the door. Herod did not intend for Peter to escape. He intended to kill him. He intended to destroy him in order to please the Jews. It was a desperate situation with seemingly no hope. But yet the church was praying for Peter. And because they prayed, God sent divine help into Peter's life. Verse 7 says this, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from them. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Notice what Peter says. Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me. Notice that. Peter says, The Lord has sent his angel and delivered me. Why did God send his angel and deliver Peter? Because the church of God was praying. The angel led Peter out to safety. And it all happened because the church was offering prayer in Peter's behalf. The principle is this. When the people of God pray for their leaders, God sends divine help in their life. The same is true today when you pray for your spiritual leaders. God sends divine help into their lives. Perhaps not as dramatic as this story tells us, but it's a real possibility. Because God has His angels, and He dispatches them on many, many, many missions to help spiritual leaders. God sends divine help when we pray for our leaders. God blesses and helps your leaders when you pray. Think about all the things that your leaders have to face. The pressure of serving and guiding the church. Think about your pastor and the pressure he has on him to serve the membership, to guide this church, to grow this church. He has to shoulder that responsibility. Along with your deacons and your elders. He has to deal with people. All kinds of people. With all kinds of temperaments. With all kinds of needs. Spiritual leaders have to labor together. Sometimes it's difficult when you labor together because there are different temperaments. There are different attitudes. There are different opinions. And not only is there the pressure of serving and guiding the church and dealing with people, laboring together with the elders, the deacons, the whatever form of government that you have, there's also the pressure of family life and personal life. I mean, being a spiritual leader sometimes is like being in a pressure cooker. I mean, it is just pressure on top of pressure. It is burden on top of burden. It is struggle on top of struggle. It is battle after battle. And the only way that your spiritual leader and leaders are going to survive is if you pray for them. Because when you pray for them, God sends divine help. The text is very clear. They prayed and God sent help. If you'll pray, God will send help. Your leaders need divine help in their lives, their ministries, in their service, and they can experience that as you pray for them. So the first result that we see of praying for our leaders is that God sends divine help into the leader's life. But there's a second result today of when you pray for your spiritual leaders, and the second result is this. God covers your leaders with divine protection. In this text, Peter is facing a dangerous situation. The Jews hated him. They had a desire to destroy him. Herod wanted to destroy him in order to gain their favor. It was a terrible situation. But God protected Peter. God protected him when he was arrested. God protected him while he was in jail. Peter was asleep, trusting in God. God delivered him when he out of this jail and God protecting him as he walked back to tell folks about how he had been released by the angel. And this is not coincidence. This is not luck. This is not fate. This is not chance. This just doesn't happen. He was covered in protection because the church prayed. God protected Peter, and he protected him because the church of God was pleading with him. Because the church prayed, God covered Peter with this almighty protection, with this shield of love and power. God responds in the same way today when we pray for our spiritual leaders. When you pray, God will cover your leaders with His protection. And your spiritual leaders need protection in a variety of ways. They need protection over their health. Their physical condition, the demands of the ministry are such that the stress can wear on your health, can rob you of your health. They need protection spiritually. Because as we said, Satan will come against them with temptations and snares. They need protection emotionally because there's a variety of emotions that are very destructive that can rob a leader of power and of effectiveness and of his ministry. Things like discouragement, frustration, fear. They need protection over their marriage, their family. All these are areas where the enemy can target. Their health, their spiritual life, their emotional life, their marriage, their family, protection over their finances. You see, the enemy will use anything he can to destroy a spiritual leader. But if the people of God pray, what's going to happen? God is going to cover that leader's life in protection. Your spiritual leaders desperately need God's protection and sustaining power. And they can experience this as you pray for them. You can pray spiritual hedges around them that protect their lives, their spiritual life, their emotional health, their finances, their marriage, their family. A hedge that will protect them and enable them to be effective. What happens when we pray for our leaders? There's great power in praying for our leaders because, number one, God sends divine help into the leader's life. Number two, God provides protection for the leaders when we pray. And there's a third reason we see in our text today, and it is that God thwarts the schemes of the evil one against our leaders. When the people of God pray, God thwarts the schemes, the plans of the evil one against our leaders. That's what verse 11 says. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Notice that phrase, "from the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the Jewish people." Herod and the Jewish people were planning the death of Peter. They were anticipating the death of Peter. They were looking forward to the death of Peter. I mean, that was what they had in mind. That's what they desired to do. But Peter says that God delivered him from the hand of Herod and the expectation of the Jews. As you read these words, as you see that phrase, the Ephesians 6:12 comes to mind. Hold your place here and go there for a moment, please. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Notice what it says here. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Notice what it says there. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the forces of evil. You see, the devil uses flesh and blood to accomplish his evil intentions. The devil works through people to accomplish what he wants. Now, in this text of Scripture, the flesh and blood is Herod and the Jewish people. They're the instruments. They're the vessels. But who is behind this devious plot to murder Peter? It is Satan himself. Satan was behind this murderous plot. He was instigating Herod and the Jews to put Peter to death. We must understand today that Satan can and does use people to accomplish his purpose. He works through their bad attitudes. He works through their harsh words. He works through their sinful actions. Satan will use people to tear your spiritual leaders down. He'll use their bad attitudes, their harsh words, their sinful actions to hammer, to hound, to wound, to hurt, to destroy your spiritual leaders. See, Satan was instigating the people of the land, the Herod, the king, to kill Peter. But what happened? The church of God prayed, and he was delivered from these folks. Delivered from this murderous plot of the evil one. Because they prayed, God delivered Peter from the wicked schemes of Satan. God will do the same for spiritual leaders today. If the church will pray, God will intervene. If the church will cry out to God, God will move. He can thwart the schemes of the evil one. He can hinder and stop the wicked words and actions of those whom Satan is using. As we said in our last session, Satan has developed schemes against leaders. He will find people to use them. He'll find the folks that have the bad attitude towards your pastor. He'll find the folks that want to criticize and gossip about your pastor. He'll find the folks that want to do hurtful things to your pastor, to your spiritual leaders. He'll find them. He'll use them to hurt, to wound your spiritual leaders. If a pastor is not prayed for, he is defenseless against these things. I want you to understand today that a pastor is either prayed for or prayed on. If your pastor is not prayed for, if your pastor is not, if people aren't crying out to God for him, then he is prayed on. He is a target. He is a defenseless target for the enemy. Any spiritual leader who is not prayed for is a wide open target for the devil. Prayer thwarts these evil schemes of the evil one. When you pray for your spiritual leaders, you're standing firm against the schemes of the enemy. This text of Scripture is showing us that if we will pray, God will thwart the wicked intentions of ungodly people. But we have to pray. Not gossip. Not take sides. Not get on the phone and call. But seek the Lord God. To touch, to intervene, to hinder, to stop the evil works of the enemy. The flesh and blood instruments and vessels. There's great power in praying for your leaders. When you pray for your leaders, God sends divine help into the leaders' lives. When you pray for your leaders, God covers them with His protection. When you pray for your leaders, God can thwart the evil schemes of the enemy, of Satan. There's a final result we see in our text of Scripture, and it is that God strengthens the church. When we pray for our leaders, God will strengthen the church. We've already seen some amazing responses that God makes when we pray for our leaders. Yet we have one more, and it's a startling response. A startling response that should stir us to pray for our spiritual leaders. It is that God will strengthen the church. He will act powerfully in behalf of the whole church. Here's the principle. If the church will pray for its spiritual leaders, then God will respond by strengthening, by blessing the whole church. What did God do for this church when they prayed for their leaders? Well, the first thing that happened was they experienced a vivid, powerful answer to their prayers. One that was so vivid they didn't know if it was true or not. That's what it says here in verse 12. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You're beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They got an amazing answer of prayer. That's what God does. When you pray for your spiritual leaders, He moves in powerful ways. But not only does God give them a powerful and vivid answer to prayer, He also removed an enemy of the church. Because it says this in verse 19. But when Herod searched for him, talking about Peter, not found him, he examined the guards and commanded they should be put to death. And when he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in a royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by the worms and died. Now was that a coincidence? Was that just a lucky break? Was that just chance? No. The church of God prayed for Peter, for protection, prayed that God would bring down the enemies of the church, and God did. When you pray for your spiritual leaders, it has great power, not only to help the spiritual leaders, but to help the church. A final thing that it did is that when they prayed for their spiritual leaders, many people were saved and transformed. It says in verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Now notice that. They prayed, they had this great, dangerous moment. They prayed, God delivered, what God did. He moved powerfully to save people's lives. The word of God grew and multiplied, meaning that it transformed, it saved, it helped, it blessed many people. Because the church prayed for Peter, God worked powerfully in behalf of the church. And God will do the same today. If you will pray for your leaders, God will strengthen your church. He'll act powerfully in behalf of your church. Why? Because God is pleased when you pray for your spiritual leaders. God is delighted when you pray for them. He will release His power into the church. He'll release His power through the church. He will help the church. He will grow the church. He will strengthen the church. A church that does not pray for its spiritual leaders cannot expect the blessing of God. A church that will not intercede for those who stand in leadership cannot expect for God to work powerfully in their behalf. It cannot expect mighty moves of God. But the church that will pray can expect God's blessing and power. There is great power when you pray for your leaders. It does amazing, miraculous things. The results are astonishing. God sends divine help in the lives of the leader. God covers them with divine protection. God thwarts the evil schemes of the enemy, of Satan. And God strengthens the church. Today, do you want God to move mightily in your church? Do you want to see a mighty move of God here? I am convinced that if we want to see God move in a unique and powerful way, there must be a return to praying powerfully, faithfully, fervently for our leaders. I'm convinced that one of the things that's hindering revival in many of our churches and in many places across our land is because pastors are not being interceded for, being prayed for daily. God is calling you as a church to pray for your spiritual leaders. it'll make a difference not only in them, but in this church. Do you want to see a mighty move of God here? Do you want to see God move in a mighty way in this church and through this church? Then respond by, as a church body, making the commitment to seek the Lord in behalf of your leaders. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that churches everywhere will commit themselves to praying for their spiritual leaders. And Lord, I pray that as they do that, they'll see your mighty hand moving in miraculous ways. I ask that you bless this church and any church that listens, that they would have that commitment to pray for their leaders. And as they pray for their leaders, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would move in a unique and a powerful way. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.